How are you, Joe?
Yes.
I'm good. I was just trying to give credit to the Atlanta United fans who are giving him an ovation, you know?
What?
I'm like when I was a kid, I'm the kind of sports fan where when there's like a big draw, you know, if it's Patrick Mahomes or Lionel Messi or whoever it might be, like I'm the guy who's like booing the heck out of that guy, even if I respect him and he might even be like a player I love or everything. But if it's going against my team, I'm not going to, you know, cheer him on. But anyways, that's just the kind of person I am.
Hey, Joe, everything was great about it until you had, like, the space between it, and you said it.
Yeah. The dramatic space.
The dramatic space.
We do a lot of, like, because this happened with Freddie Freeman when he came back a couple years ago. Like, I get the first
thing. They did this last.
Too much.
I know. Like, enough. And I get it. You love him. And I don't know. Maybe some of that was about what his family has been going through. I don't know. I just feel like we do a lot of cheering for people that don't play for us anymore. Yeah. Now, I understand yesterday was more about Messi. What was that like, by the way? Like, how was that with that crowd and how crazy that must have been?
Definitely an interesting experience, and it really is like he's like a zoo animal. And it's like anytime he's walking around, that you would see fans like rushing down the stairwells to like get closer to him wherever he was. And when he got up to just start warming up, there was a massive cheer that went up, and everybody gets their phones out, and that's why I say he's like a zoo animal. It's just like everybody's recording him at all times and like posting just random videos of him walking from point A to point B. but it was cool. And I got to say, guys, like for somebody who's been to almost every Atlanta United home game so far this year, it was good to see just energy and juice back in that building. And I will say, while obviously people came out because Messi's there and they want to see him, they want to, you know, tell their kids they saw Messi play in person, it was still a pro Atlanta United crowd.
Right.
And you could tell. And it was just kind of had that juice in the stadium again. And I know even Saba Lochinidze afterwards was getting interviewed, and he was like, guys, please, we're going to give everything. Please come back. please continue to support us.
Pretend Messi plays for every team. Come back.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But no, it was a fun night overall.
Hey, JP, we just played a clip, and I think it was you that asked the question to Joe Pat. I mean, sorry, I called him Joe Pat. To Kirk Cousins about the whole 100% thing that was reported by Troy Aikman. That basically he was talking about, as he didn't want to call it last week, the rust that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was actually not me who asked that question, but I just want to put that out there. But, I think that there was a big confusion that happened and something got lost in translation. But essentially what he was saying is that he's not 100% and feeling like he's 100% of, like, the quarterback that he could potentially be. But it's not having to do with the physical aspect of it. He said the physically he feels fine. It's just that rust and, like, kind of understanding that he's not really playing at the level where he had been previously, like I think would be totally understandable for anybody who's missed that duration of time and you're just not in the pocket. And he was talking about also, how Raheem has done a great job in protecting them. But as part of that protection, you're just not totally familiar with what it feels like when, you know, the live action is flying around you and you could potentially get hit. I think that that's frankly why a lot of fans wanted these guys to play in preseason so that they had that experience. But again, that's just the choice that Raheem Morris made. And, I think that we're already starting to see, especially after that Eagles game, not only starting to get as a fan or observer of the team, you know, regaining confidence in his ability to be under center and do play action, do all the things that's made him a successful quarterback to this point in his career, but also to, he's just becoming a better quarterback overall and knocking off that rust as the season progresses here.
Yeah, I mean, with you guys getting a chance to talk to him just a little bit ago, what specifically did he talk about maybe being easier or better, getting cleaned up from week one to week two?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because Kirk, you know, coming off that win, it's, you know, it's an emotional high, obviously, for the team. And, everybody's juiced up. And I was, you know, just walked out of the locker room today and you could tell the mood is upbeat. Guys are happy. It's actually kind of funny. Side quest here. But they were like trying to film guys to get them to sing the Sunday Night Football song. And like Kyle Pitts, for example, I'll call him out. He was a little too shy to do it. He was refusing to do it. Jake Matthews pulled his veteran card, so he didn't have to do it. But it was fun to see that. Kirk, I think what what's really encouraging for a lot of fans is he comes out of that game and is like, you know, we got so much to work on. And Zach Robinson was talking about how he was texting him constantly on the flight home, talking about, you know, what he could have been better at and, you know, how he could have been better at this progression and this read or whatnot. One of them was that potential throw to Kyle Pitts in the end zone where he was open, but but Kirk wanted to make sure that they were able to get the field goal out of that situation. So, but like a lot of things that he's just kind of hard on himself, even though I think that we're all seeing a lot of progress. I'm sure he's feeling it as well and seeing it as well. I think everybody can kind of just see how much better that offense was flowing on Monday night.
Joe, look, coming into this week, you know, we talked about the progression of the offense and everything like that. I think this is a better defense they're playing this weekend than they played on Monday night. How do you feel like they can? What do you think they can progress off of or add to that they need that they haven't shown yet so far in 2 weeks?
Oh man, I mean, like it's tough, but I think that one area that you could really see improve or progress or whatever is just getting Kyle Pitts involved even more in this offense. I think that we've already started to see in these first couple games, you know, the Darnell Mooneys and the Ray McLeods really, you know, getting fed, not because it's like an intention to feed them specifically, but Kirk has talked about this. He goes through his progressions and he lets the progression tell him, you know, where to go with the football. He's not really thinking about it that much, but I think that against this Kansas City defense, utilizing Kyle Pitts and getting him on those kinds of catches, like, for example, that he had on that first pass that he caught on that game-winning drive where it's a pretty, you know, like, relatively easy kind of pitch and catch, you know, route and completion for him. I think that if you can start, like, making teams respect that threat, and I think that teams have respected it so far, but I think that there's more that this team can do in that respect. And if you get them kind of, you know, jumping or kind of keying in on Kyle, then I think you can really open up a lot more of this offense. And if they're not, if they are, you know, kind of covering everyone, that's when you should be able to feed Kyle and really get him going in the offense. And so I think that, again, when you look at that game Monday night, it's really encouraging because you saw these different kind of elements of the team start to get going, not him necessarily, but you saw the ground game start to work in a way that they really, you know, need to be successful. And obviously you saw Darnell Mooney kind of get involved. You saw them hit some deep shots. So you are, I think, starting to see this team develop and starting to use more tools that they have at their disposal.
How different do you think I know the difference between winning and losing is huge, but how different do you think just kind of the energy around the team, not just from fans, but inside the building like you've been the last couple of days, is because of that last drive versus maybe if Saquon makes that catch and the game ends like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge, obviously. You know, guys aren't going to come out and say, like, oh, if we, you know, like, if we, you know, had lost that game, then we would be down the dumps or whatnot. Cause, you know, they kind of really do approach it like every week is its own routine, its own kind of fresh slate to start from. But I think, you know, just observing these guys, it's a totally different kind of, demeanor, especially in that locker room. And it's not that, like, to say that, you know, like they were down, they were kind of, a little bit more down or more focused, I guess. That's the way I've been describing it, more focused in that week leading up to the Eagles game, and that resulted in a win. And I think that the challenge, and Raheem Morris has talked about this, but the challenge for this team is to get some consistency going. Like, under Arthur Smith, this team was never able to win, you know, string three wins together. I don't think they ever did that during his tenure. And so in order to be able to do that, you got to be able to win a game and then put that behind you. As much as you flush bad losses, you also got to flush the wins too, especially when they bring that emotional high. And I think that that's the big challenge. And I got to say, guys, like, I would love to say, oh yeah, they've definitely flushed it. They're on to the next one. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I want to see this team come out against Kansas City and just, you know, bring that same kind of verve that they had in the Monday Night Football game. And I think they will. I think these guys are just really excited about playing in prime time, to be honest. I think that it just gets guys, you know, competitive juices flowing, and that's what you love to see.
JP, you're around this team and everything, and I think I saw something yesterday said the Falcons are the only team that don't have a rookie playing offense or defense so far this season. And I'm just thinking about, you know, the position, you know, which rookie could contribute. Obviously, on offense, Michael Pittman is not playing. But a role, him not playing, is it more or less he's not ready, or is this defensive tackle rotation, is it too deep for him to get involved, JP?
I think it's a combination of both of those. I think it's like there's not really – I think it's actually like Raheem Morris, I don't think feels any pressure to play him. And it's probably a good thing that he doesn't like feel pressure from the GM to like play the rookie if he doesn't think that he's ready or he thinks he has better options. And I think that if you were to ask, you know, Raheem, it, like, for example, who do you want to put in a game like you know, in a snap decision, Kentavious Street or Rukurorō? Probably Kentavious Street. He's a veteran who's been around this league. Frankly, his body is built out better to withstand and be able to hold up at the point of attack in some of these situations. So part of that is down to Rook's, you know, has to continue to develop, and Brandon Dorlos and some of these other guys have to develop their bodies so that they are able, better able to, you know, execute what the coaches need of them. And then also you've got those other guys. So I think it's a combination of both of those things. But I think that it's actually a good thing that there's a kind of a comfortability, at least from the coaching staff, where they feel like they don't have to throw these guys into the fire. And it won't be, you know, there's a matter of time. These guys, it's a tough league. These guys get hurt and get in the inside, and you know, they'll find their opportunities over the course of the season, I'm sure. And then the other thing, Randy, about this situation is that when you go back to the draft in April, where they obviously loaded up at this defensive line position, you know, at that point, they probably didn't know exactly what condition Grady Jarrett was going to come back from his injury when you're in April. It's easy to say, and now we're in, you know, what, August and September, he's looking great, and, you know, he's just kind of keeping guys off the field. But I think there was probably a little bit more uncertainty as to what that position group was going to be looking like at that point in time when they had to make those picks.
What about the injury report in general? I know it's Wednesday. Things can change. Things can get better. Things can get worse. But where are they at injury-wise as of right now?
Yeah, pretty clean. I mean, there's not a few guys were limited yesterday, but it seems like they're all on track to play. Antonio Hamilton is coming back from his injury as well that's kept him out. Obviously, you know, they still are going to be without Nate Landman, who's on IR, and that's a tough loss for this team. I will say I kind of suspect that he's going to be coming back kind of like right after the 4 weeks is over, as opposed to it being some longer term thing. I know Troy Andersen yesterday just said, like, you know, in a couple weeks we'll have him back, which, you know, who knows, maybe he was just kind of speaking off the cuff. But also the fact that they put him on IR like right before the game was about to start, I think kind of signals that they wanted to just kind of go ahead and knock that week out on IR so he can kind of get a head start on it, and hopefully he'll be back. But other than that, yeah, it's been pretty healthy. I was a little bit worried about Tyler Allgeier because it looked like you could see in that Eagles game he was dealing with something, and he was limited yesterday with what they say is a hip. And I kind of expect him to be limited again today just as a running back. No reason to kind of put him under any undue burden. But I think this team is going to be relatively healthy. And, you know, frankly, as far as Landman goes, you're probably not going to play him a ton anyway against this Chiefs team who winds up in 11 personnel so much and spreads things out against you.
All right, JP, you're going to be in the house, right? If there's one laying around, JP, I don't need you to go snatching nobody's. Could you grab us a couple of those Arthur Blank cups?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll definitely do that. I'll definitely do that. They're here today at the facility. Yeah, we actually have hot dogs and chips and the souvenir cups here. So I'll make sure to grab you one.
Oh, you get
and by the way, Randy, my parents were also asking where the Smoke and Joe thing came from. I was like, I don't know.
I don't know either. I remember we just had you on. And we started doing it during COVID. We just have you on.
Yeah.
And I was like, Smoke and Joe.
All the drugs that you do, I thought.
Last time I saw Joe, out one night.
Yeah.
And Joe had Newport behind his ear.
Oh, that's a funny visual.
All right, JP.
That's a funny visual. Thank you, Joe.